Hi, Bert.
What's occurring?
Not a lot, Bert. What's occurring? What's news?
Quite big news, actually. This podcast, What's Occurring, now presented by Brains, beer company in Wales. So, yeah.
We've gone big time, basically.
Yeah, we're taking over. We're taking over the podosphere. So, for those who don't know, Brains as well, yeah, it's a Welsh brewery. They do a great ale, or beer, good G beer. It's only available in summer, three months a year, but yeah, really good it is, actually. It went to the tour. Did you drink some in the tour?
No, you didn't give me any. Still waiting for my shipment.
No, apparently they sent a load, and it all gone by the time I got to the bus, so I just assumed it was you.
Drunk no, I was just on rewinding back to the tour. I was on the rum. Corretto gave us each a bottle of rum. I don't know why he felt it was necessary to give 8 riders a bottle of rum each on the bus, but
yeah
I didn't have any of your beer, just Corretto's rocket fuel rum.
I remember being given a bidon of that as well. I was yeah, that got us going.
Have you just farted?
No.
Have you, Matt? My brother's in the room. Someone stinks. So my brother's just in the room, just looking on, and absolutely. Someone's farted.
He does a podcast for Zwift, doesn't he? So he's just seeing how you actually do it properly.
Just learning the ropes. Yeah. But that stinks. Okay. So, yeah. Well, heading into the off-season now. Well, we've done the off-season. Heading into pre-season. So, off-season was pretty big for you, mate. Big news.
Yeah, it's totally different to normal. So I gave birth. I had a little boy. And, yeah, totally different to any off-season I've ever had, for obvious reasons. And we had the Worlds on the Sunday, and then little Maxen came Wednesday morning. So perfect time.
Back really. Just in time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. When I obviously went to Canada, it was, you know, fair a few weeks before he was due, but you're a bit like, poah, she's 36 weeks now. He's fully developed, apparently, from the little apps you get. You know, it says like he's the size of a raisin and a bloody melon and all that type of stuff. But yeah, by 36, he's ready to come out. So that was a bit sort of, you know, it's just in the back of your mind, you're just thinking, is he going to come? And like, you're obviously in Canada, you can get back, but there's one flight a night type thing. So, but that was all good anyway.
Planted the seed to perfection, mate.
Did.
Precision
did,
planning.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, fair play. So,
talking about that, actually, sorry. Was during the tour, so I had like, I think it was a 20-week scan maybe. And I had to get Marco, because I was obviously on the bike when she was doing it. Mm. So in the feed zone, when he was giving me his bag, he was like, everything's okay. Which was quite...
that's a pretty cool story.
That was a bit weird, yeah. But anyway, so yeah, a lot of nappy changes. Normally I go on a nice holiday, like we've been all over the place. But
And you had a belting nappy change the other day. A few days ago we went for a roast dinner. The 6 of us, so me, G, our better halves, and our 2 little boys, and there was like no nappy changing facilities, so like, you know, is what it is, we'll just change them on the little booth here. So you whipped his nappy off, didn't you? Yeah, the heavens opened and you started weeing everywhere. And then
but 3 times, it wasn't just one, was
you
it?
Had to like scurry your nappy to cover his didgeridoo. And then you did it 3 times in a row, I'm like, I've been there. It's great watching someone else like, just get a golden
panicking.
Shower.
You were just laughing.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Mm. Oh, some of it went in your gravy, but yeah.
Oh, it's all gravy.
But so yeah, that's me anyway. Basically, I think probably...
What so mellow, you know, in terms of off-seasons.
Yeah. Normally, like I say, you go on a nice big holiday somewhere. Like we've been to Maldives, Iceland, Thailand, you know, east and west coast of America, all over. So
which was the best one, best holiday ever?
Maldives, I think, for sure. Like, we didn't really do a lot, but we were nailed. It was a big off season. That was, we went to Iceland, Pete Kenyuk's wedding, then we went to Maldives, and then we had your wedding.
So that finished off with a bang.
Yeah, that was a belter of an off season. But you've had a good holiday now.
Yep, so just got back from New York. Kind of had to go on a shorter holiday, not like a beach holiday, just a bit of a weekend excursion. Left wee man at home. So nice
you
just
don't
to
normally go. Like holidays though, do you?
I
have a homing pigeon.
No, I hate holidays. I No, that's not right. I don't hate holidays, but for me, you're on the road so much. So the fact that you can just go at home, back to Wales, Cardiff, see the boys, you know, walk to your local, normal life, spend time with the family, for me, that's the best holiday you can have. So my missus knows I don't like holidays. So for my birthday, which was back in March, I mean, she's always trying to persuade me to go on holiday, and I keep saying no. And then for my birthday, she bought me a holiday, so she flipped me big time, basically. I was like, oh, yeah, brilliant, thanks.
Yeah, you can't beat a good holiday, though. Like, you know, just...
Yeah, you love them. I'm not that into them.
I know, I totally get what you mean with the travelling, but when you're with your missus, you know, and you're just doing something different, you know, because when we stop, we're going to be stuck in Cardiff, aren't we? Like,
that's going to be the dream. Wake up in Cardiff.
I don't know, man. Raining. I find that quite scary, the thought of just waking up and just being one place with nothing. Okay, hopefully we'll have some sort of goals or some sort of job to get out of bed for, but I don't know. At the moment, we're not in one place more than 2-3 weeks. It's a big change.
Yeah, that's the big thing with retirement. That, I mean, obviously I'm years away and you're very close, but it's just obviously on your mind a lot more. But every day and every week and every month and every year, there's just planning, goals, want to be here, there, be good there. And then, yeah, but when I stop, I'll just keep busy. You know, get a couple jobs and graft.
Doing what?
Don't know. Pouring pints down the local. That's one thing that would be quite cool. I mean, nah. I don't think I get paid great, but...
Oh, mate. If there's one thing...
I'm good at small talk.
We've got a wedding venue in...
Have you?
In Chepstow. Yeah, have St. You? Judrick's House.
It's oh, really?
Quality. Yeah, check it out online.
Has it got a website?
It does, yeah. stjudrickshouse.co.uk, maybe?
Oh, okay.
.com. I don't know, but it's online.
Any promo codes?
No, but if you mention me, they'll stick an extra grand on the bill.
Oh, okay.
But what was I going to say? Anyway, I've completely lost what I was going to say.
Don't know, just advertising your business in the middle of our pod.
Oh, no, yeah, dealing with drunk people, man, that's one... Oh, mate, it's just...
Like, oh, yeah.
I haven't worked there, but some of the stories that Sars told me and like some of the people that work there,
yeah,
it's just an absolute nightmare. Like, oh, that's the last thing I'd want to do.
Yeah, I'll probably just be a model then. work for Calvin Klein or something, probably.
Or mobility scooters, the way you're going, mate.
Could open a barber's, help you out. Right, we're going road.
Anyway, New York, how was it New anyway? What did you do?
Highlight was, went to 2 games of hockey. That was class. Seeing Rangers, Bruins. Bruins are my team. They were, you know, that was mega. And then seeing Bruins.
Where
sorry,
are the Rangers from?
New York, baby.
Oh, so it was like a derby.
Yeah. No. New York against Boston Bruins. New York Rangers against Boston Bruins. So Boston Bruins were in town. And then I seen New York Rangers versus Tampa Bay Lightning. Both in Madison Square Garden, so quite an iconic sporting venue. And that was just like bucket list stuff for me.
Yeah.
And after the Bruins game, got to meet some of the players, met Zdeno Chara, who is my hero.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Legend.
No idea who he is, but he's good.
He just finished. He just had his 1,500th NHL game. So he's a weapon, been around a long time. 6'9", hard-hitting, D-man. Just a weapon of a player. Yeah. So, yeah, my hero. I'll say it.
Sweet.
Straight up. And got to meet him, so that was cool. He's a cycling fan, wants to come to the Tour de France next year.
Really?
So that would be cool.
So is he your, like, if there's one person you can meet, it would be him in the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I think, yeah, if you would say, sit down, right, one person. You know, like a question. People. Three people.
If you had a dinner party, three people, who would you invite?
Him.
He can be dead as well.
Okay. Zdeno Chara. Mike Tyson, just because I think he'd have some crazy stories. And then probably go down the politics route, just because that would be, you know, just chew their ear off about that. So probably someone like Churchill, who's in the thick of it.
I thought you were going to say that Theresa May then.
Oh, no, that's controversial, isn't it? No, I'd probably go Churchill.
Yeah?
Three different.
Yeah, that would be.
I mean, two sport and one politics. Good balance. You?
Yeah. first on the list would be Eminem, definitely. And then I guess Thierry Henry, he's a legend.
Mm. You got one of his jerseys, haven't you?
Yeah.
First week.
Yeah, for my 30th, which is a few years ago now. But yeah.
Just a few.
Rocket, my management, got me a framed shirt by him, which was sweet. So I got that.
So at least you got something for all them 20% they pay you've paid them over the years.
Wow, it's the least they could do, really, mate.
Bastards.
Yeah, lazy bastards. Anyway, that's a different story. That's for a different pod. What else? Who's the
third
other
person?
I think similar to you, someone that's just been a big sort of, you know, influence on the world or something like
me.
Maybe someone like Obama, who's obviously a bit of an obvious choice, isn't he? Or Mandela, someone like that.
Fair one.
They'd be pretty cool to chat to, wouldn't they? I guess.
So, yeah, I mean, we've both had an off season. I'd say mine was fairly chilled in the big scheme of off seasons as well. Yours was different, you know. New man comes to the world. It's pretty awesome. So now we're both back to training now. Yeah. You know, just the start of it all, really. Just
Just with off seasons, I think ours are totally different to the majority of the peloton, though, aren't they?
In general, yeah. Over the years, yeah.
Especially in, from what I see, anyway. Like you start in November, and you see guys who look like we saw Wout today.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look any different, does he?
He's tall weight. It's November. He's just come back from holiday. What a freak!
It's unbelievable, really. Yeah, and I think like some people asked me yesterday, oh, how do you? I put on so much weight. I was like, mate, you just got to commit. You just got to drink.
Yeah.
Drink those pints.
Yeah.
And have like, not that we purposely go out and try and put on weight, but I think that's the time we just fill our boots, isn't it? And you completely switch off and you just unload.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like 11 months. The season's getting longer and longer when you look at it. It's January till October. And you get 1 month. Okay, you don't race, you know, right way through most of the time, but you have 1 month, 4 weeks really. And that's your only shop window to kind of enjoy yourself. If you want, like you say, if you want a couple of beers, if you want to eat whatever you want, whenever you want, then go for it. So for me, I just embrace it, fully indulge. But yeah, I think a lot of people don't. I think more people don't than do. I think a lot of people are still mid-off season, worried about the waistline, yeah.
Yeah, they're always 70, 90%, aren't they? Whereas I much prefer to be 50, 100.
100% off-season, 100% on-season.
Yeah, but I mean,
to both.
Yeah. Physical fitness wise, you got to have those real down moments, and mentally as well, to be then really on it when you got to be. You can just go another little level, then
like a roller coaster, isn't it? You need your big ups and your big downs.
It's a culture thing, isn't it? I think the Brits and the Aussies are quite similar like that. Like you see, yeah. Richie commits to putting on a few kilos. Although saying that, he won't be listening. Don't worry, mate. He's looking all right this year, though. He didn't have too much time off, I don't think.
No, I've seen him a lot bigger. He looks half decent. Obviously got a bit of timber to lose, but I think every rider in the pro peloton has at the moment. He's looking pretty good, to be fair, by Richie standards.
I think he'll win Wollongong for the 12th time this year.
He's already got to the key to the city, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So I wonder what they'll give him this year. You know, the key... So Wollongong is obviously the little village at the bottom of Wollongong Hill.
Yeah.
And two people have got the key to the city. And they gave it to Richie last year.
Yeah.
I think I'm right in this story. They gave it to Richie. And the other person that has one is an astronaut.
Wow.
So only Richie and an astronaut have a key to Wollongong.
And only Richie will be able to use it then. But the no use to an astronaut in space, is it?
No. Yeah.
And the astronaut can have a key to my house as well.
Yeah. Good luck opening it from Mars.
Yeah. Not bad. Ooh, look at me, bloody Tim Peake 2.0.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, yeah, we've off-season done, completed it, mate. Now, getting...
I keep jumping into you now, but what about Worlds? We got to just mention that quickly.
Yeah.
Your prediction was nearly came true.
Yeah.
I sat there on the bus, like, obviously I shouldn't have been on the
bus. Were you racing?
Yeah, but we don't want to go down there anyway.
Oh.
Just crap day, but anyway. Yeah, I was sat on the bus watching the finish, and all I could think of was, oh my God, like, Luke's called this now.
Yeah.
So who was it? Trentin, Mads, obviously, that won, Pedersen, and Kuhn.
Yeah. Why? You wouldn't have predicted, like, that.
Not a chance.
Them three coming to the finish line, like.
Trentin all day long, wouldn't he?
that, yeah, hard man's race. So fair play to all them three, really. And I was watching it. And I was thinking, this is going to be mega. My prediction's going to come true, and I look like an absolute god. And Mads rolled him easily, which was just shows how hard that race was. Really, like, Trentin is so much faster in a bunch sprint, but then, you know, it's just man o' man, and who's strongest at the end of a hard race. And yeah, Pedersen was just absolute weapon, incredible. Yeah, prior to this, he'd had some good results over the couple of years, and he got second in Flanders. Second in Flanders. Similar, he raced a similar way as well, kind of grinding out, always on the front foot, always nose in the wind, you know, like one of them hard days out. So, we'll see what he'll be able to do in the next few years. But
another little bastard now, isn't there?
Wonder what odds you'd have had on him start of the day. That's like Leicester City odds, that, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah, it's got to be. Because I was chatting to Valgren about this, who's obviously his teammate, from Michael Valgren, the Danish guy. I was like, oh, would he have made the squad, you know? Because they were the guys that knocked us out of
10. Yeah.
So they got 8 riders and we got 6. If we had stayed 10th, they would have only had 6. It would be interesting. He probably might have been in the team anyway, but it'd be interesting to...
Yeah.
Know, looking at that. Obviously, I think Valgren would be in there. Fuglsang would be in there. I don't know. The others, really. The pecking order.
No, Magnus Cort Nielsen, a couple of others, but yeah, whether he'd made the team.
The Irish guy?
The Irish Dane, Yul Jensen. Yeah. Who knows, but interesting 1G. Throw the cat among the pigeons there.
Yeah.
But I was happy. I mean, 200 guys, I did. One guy would win, he came second.
Yeah, well.
Done better than Tim Welland, your prediction, so.
Yeah, he's right in the front.
1-0 to me.
Bloody hell, Tim.
Right, I'll try again.
Oh, but I
here we go.
Jumping in again. I got a prediction right for the Rugby World Cup, though, eh?
Yes.
Well, I said...
Yeah. No, I'll give you that, yeah.
New Zealand-South Africa game back in September. Yeah. And South Africa lost, and then they won the World Cup. So, yeah, thanks for coming.
All right, yo. Right, finish the off-season. That's all done. Back on the bike. What does a normal week on the bike look like for Gary Thomas?
It's just basically hours. Easy hours.
How many hours?
Riding the bike. I did a couple of hours, like, when I started back, and then at the start of this week, I'll probably end up doing around 22 hours.
Nice.
This week.
It's a good week.
And and I'll just build from there, probably throw in a few 25s, start knocking out a few 30s in December, probably.
Yeah.
But it's just full on, just churning mile after mile. I think that's what I'm sort of did as a youngster, and I've always sort of done that, and it's just mentally I feel like that's the thing I need to do, and it just feels like I get that real solid found. It's like building a house, you know, and I've got a big house to build when you're trying to win a grand tour.
Fair one.
So you need a big old foundation, and that's kind of what you do now. And starting a lot earlier than I did last year, that's for sure. After winning the tour, I didn't start till 21st November, so I'll be 3 weeks ahead of what I was last year, so that'll be nice. Last year was just full on chasing that, but yeah, so there's nothing really. Might do the odd sprint over like the top of some climb or to some lamppost.
Race to the calf, last man pays, old school.
Yeah. So other than that, just riding. And what about you? Similar story, or cause you're racing like earlier than me as well.
I'm racing earlier. Yeah, I'm probably going to race Australia like normal, but I think pretty similar. I'd say probably the biggest difference between yourself and I is I'd do a few less hours on the bike, but gym work since my injury has become a big part of my training, so that's 2 to 3 times a week. It's just quite time consuming, not just the time in the gym, you know, you got to travel to the gym and you do it as well as a day on the bike, so you get back, you have an hour, you get changed in gym clothes, you go to the gym, come back. So it's just it's a poor lake as opposed to the actual effort of it. But I'd say that's probably the biggest difference. But in terms of efforts and stuff, again, I'll just kind of, yeah, it's not junk miles, just an expression, but just grind out their miles, similar to you. Maybe not quite 30-hour weeks, maybe I'll probably peak out at 25-hour weeks. With a few gym sessions thrown on top, so pretty similar, really. And the fact that I'm racing in Australia, yes, I'm racing, but will I be top of my game? Probably not. Just have to be a good enough level to, you know, to do a job there and kick on from there to the classics when I start putting your own efforts and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, so classics are your big goal, aren't they? So
yeah,
down unders because of that, basically.
Yeah, it just means you can have a month guaranteed good weather every day. You know you're going to train well every day, where, you know, or everywhere in Europe, there's a question mark over that. You could pick the nicest country weather-wise in Europe, and it still can be pretty shitty if you have a bad week. So, you know, some people bash that theory and say, yeah, but you're training in great weather, and then you come back to shit weather, and that knocks you. But for me, that's never been an issue. So, been to Australia the last, I don't know, 6 years, I think. So, yeah, it's not broke. Yeah, I think it works. So, yeah, go there and then have another dab at the classics, see what we can do. And then kick on from there. Happy days.
Favourite classic?
Roubaix.
Yeah.
You?
Flanders.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Roubaix. Oh, it's just like, oh, yeah, feel the stones, eh? The bloody stones.
Baby's heads, eh? Yeah. You have to love the stones, eh?
Yeah, bloody stones.
Yeah, it's a crazy old race.
It is good, but...
Actually, someone asked... How long is this? 21 minutes. Right, we've got time. A couple more minutes. That was one of the questions someone wrote in. Talk me through, briefly, Roubaix. So, if you had to summarise Roubaix in 30 seconds, just a day of craziness, go.
I'd say it's like... The first 10 sectors are like big bunch sprints. Like, in a normal race, just a bunch sprint into the cobbles for position. And then after that, it's, if you're in front, you've made it. You've made the selection, but then it just gets harder from there. And it's just a war of attrition. And the sectors are just like mini pursuits as well. You know, you fly across them. It's big power for, you know, I don't know, what's the longest one? 4 or 5 minutes tops?
Yeah, 3.7K, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, quite a bit more than that then. Oh, no. You go pretty fast, though. Whatever it is, anyway. It's
yeah,
like,
say it's five minutes, give or take, yeah.
Effort, all in the saddle, obviously. And
you don't get out of the saddle anyway.
No.
You love that saddle, don't you?
But so it's just like a war of attrition, isn't it? It's just hard from the start, and it just a bit like British racing, really, you know. Just goes from the gun and that's it. It's just, except it doesn't slow down like British racing, it just continues to get fast. And I think over the years now, since Fabian and Boonen have gone, you'd know better, really, but it seems like the racing starts a lot earlier. Like, it started earlier when they were still around to try and, like, isolate them. But then now even more so, it's like there isn't really one or two big favourites anymore. It's just there's a lot of guys that can win, and it just seems like the racing starts so much earlier. That pre-final break is quite a key one. And similar to the Worlds this year in a way, like, that was sort of like the pre-final break. But then the big guys never were able to close the gap in the end. But it's just mad racing, though.
Yeah, I think one thing I'd compare, it's just a bit of a lottery, isn't it? You can have the best legs in the world. You can have be in the perfect position, physically and tactically, perfectly. And something happens, someone crashes you in front of you, a spectator steps out and you're done. Or a puncture at the wrong time, a mechanical at the wrong time and you're done. So there's a certain level of you are playing the lottery in that sense. And but at the same time, I think, you know, the...
Have you done a Roubaix... Sorry to cut in again. Have you done a Roubaix without puncturing or crashing?
Yeah. Not many. I've only crashed a couple of times, a couple of versions, but I've punctured most Roubaix. When I got best result in Roubaix was 8th, and nothing happened to me. Squeaky clean, no crashes, no punctures, barely seen a crash, because if it all goes well, you shouldn't see a crash, because you're always in front of them. And I think when you get to the finish and you don't even see a crash and you don't have a puncture, then you can never complain, can you? Then no. It's, as long as you get a smooth run, then if your legs fail you, then it is what it is. But it's just a crazy day out, I think, in... You know, in a bunch sprint, you can have 3 or 4 moments where you think, wow, that was close to crashing there, or, you know, that flick or the wave, or, you know, a couple of riders banging into each other. But in Roubaix, it's just time after time, that sensation, that feeling, and that element of risk is just throughout the whole day.
Yeah. What about when the cobbles were in the tour? Any different?
Oh, I just hate, like, I look forward to Roubaix, but then because if I'm racing for myself or if there's a couple of leaders and you fuck up, it's on you. It's like, okay, I made a mistake. But if you're looking after yourself or through me or whatever, and I mess up, then I've messed myself and you up.
Yeah.
And then that pressure is worse and that responsibility is worse. But at the same time, as soon as you can be a bit nervous or, you know, a bit of tension, but as soon as you clip in and roll away and the race starts, that all goes out the window and it's just one big crazy circus, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I love it. We all love it in one way or another, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Rightio. Should we call it a wrap?
Yeah, that's it. We're going to... was there something else we had to say? Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's occurring? We're doing Movember.
Yeah. So we're recording this on the Friday the 8th of November. It should be out, you know, very soon. So you'll be pretty much near this date. So we got 8 days of growth. Both right. Do Movember.
Yeah.
So what's the charity? What's the info? You know,
I think
you know,
actually doing it for Movember now, which is just...
Okay.
They donated to cancer charities, I think, is it?
Yeah, there's a few different options. I think we decided to go just for the Movember charity itself, which is obviously a cancer. You know, essentially the theory is that you grow hair for those who can't, those who are going through chemo or what have you. So quite a cool thing. I've done it for quite a few years. You're popping the cherry. Yeah. So yeah, we'll the details are there. We'll follow somewhere or another. So chuck a few of your golden nuggets. That would be greatly appreciated. Yeah. Tidy.
Sweet.
Ta-da. Ta-da, boy.